nowhere to lead their mismatched ensemble.
What do you mean?
She's no good for you, and vice versa.
Ula flushed. He'd had no idea his instant fascination with her was so obvious.
What are you talking about?
He said, lowering his voice so no one could overhear.
You know as much about her as I do.
I know she's faking it, and that's about the only thing you two have in common.
Again, that sly hint that Jed thought Ula was more than he was saying. Or less, if his tone of voice was anything to go by.
What exactly are you suggesting?
Me? Nothing. I'm just making conversation.
That rapidly became difficult. Their pace was increasing by the minute. Soon they were jogging alongside Patanin and the security detail, with Weequay loping long-legged beside them and Gamorrean struggling along behind. More palace security personnel joined them, Nyctos and Hooks mainly, forming an ever-growing caravan heading toward the vaults. It was hard to see what lay ahead past the Twi'lek and Lorin, but it looked like there were further guards waiting for them, and more than that besides. At the entrance to the security airlock lay a scene of utter demolition. Walls had fallen in, the ceiling had collapsed, tons of stone and reinforced ferrocrete lay between them and their objective. Evokai slaves and security guards picked at the rubble, getting in one another's way such as their haste to clear a path. Conflicting orders flashed back and forth. Yima hurried into the mess, trying in vain to impose order.
"This is outrageous," announced a high-handed voice over the hubbub.
It was a tall, long-nosed man in Imperial uniform, shouldering his way toward the Republic entourage.
"If you've had a role to play in this fraudulent affair..."
"We've as much to lose as you,"
snapped Ula, wishing he could take his fellow Imperial aside and reveal to him the secret role he was playing. There was no need to argue, except for appearance's sake.
"And are as much in the dark."
From the other side of the rubble came an explosion, crisp and floor-shaking. Ula put his hands over his ears and backed away. Two enormous dirt-moving droids shouldered forward to plow through the mess.
"Stay here,"
Lorin ordered him, and he was happy for the moment to obey. She joined Yima in the wake of the heavy lifters, clearly determined to be among the first inside. The Twi'lek didn't disabuse her of that intention. Once again, Ula admired her confidence. What on Korriban did Jet Nebula mean that she was a faker as well? A cry went up. The barrier was breached. A cloud of smoke and dust rolled over those assembled. The sound of combat came to them, fierce and pitched. Lorin yelled something over her shoulder.
"What did she say?"
Ula asked Jet.
"Something about a Sith. I didn't catch all of it."
Ula glanced at the Imperial envoy, who studiously avoided everyone's gaze. Yima waved for reinforcements. A line of Weequay moved in, followed by Patanin and his opposite number on the Imperial side. There was more confusion as all three columns tried to squeeze through space for one. Ula lost sight of Lorin and craned for a better view.
"Why don't you go closer?" asked Jet.
I don't think that would be safe. Do you?
I think it's all relative right now.
Shamed, Ula headed toward the widening hole. Jet followed, leaving his droid to watch the entrance. Seeing Ula moving in, the Imperial envoy followed, not wanting to be left out. The tunnel through the rubble was crowded with people. What lay at the end of it was not clear through the smoke and dust. Blaster fire cast strange lights into the haze, and Ula distinctly heard the sound of the Mandalorian's jetpack. On top